Okay, good evening. Hope everyone is well. And now we're really getting to crunch time. It's right before Pesach. we're gonna have a special shiur tonight. Sadly, because many people are ill and are not at their best at this Pesach, I want to spend some time discussing some halachas that are not only relevant to those that Nebuch are suffering from this horrific machla that's been circling, but even people that don't have corona, but they are not feeling well, or perhaps have other medical issues that they should be aware of as they proceed to get ready for the Yom Tov of Pesach. Now again, as a disclaimer, everyone should discuss their specific situation with their doctor and their rabbi, but we're going to go over some basic general ideas that are relevant to those that are not feeling well. Again, this can also be someone who's suffering from allergies, a cold, someone that has other ailments, not only corona, but because Nebuch, there are quite a few people this year that are not feeling well, even if they're recovering, Baruch Hashem, but they're still not themselves, so there's a couple of interesting things that they should be aware of. Halacha, first issue that I want to discuss is, let's say, for example, Nebuch, you have a person that's in the hospital. Let's say, Nebuch, a person gets sick, or a person is hospitalized, and now they find themselves in the hospital when it comes Lil Yudalid. What do they do with regard to Bedikas Chametz? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in number one, Simetof Lamed Vav Sif Aleph. We spoke about this at length in my shul Shabbos HaGodol last year. We spoke about it in the Young Israel on Sunday morning. Mechabe paskins ha-mefarish me'abosh aliyam. If a person takes a trip, he goes away from the dry land to the water, or yoytze b'shiro, he goes on a caravan. Ve'en meniach v'beisim mishayivdoik. And there's no one at home to do bedikah. The family takes a trip. There's no one at home. So again, when we talk about someone who's sick in a hospital, usually there's someone else at home. He has a wife, he has children, but there are people that Nebuch don't have. They're single or they're widowed and they have no other family. And Nebuch, now they're stuck in a hospital or maybe a nursing home. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Ve'ein minicha beis mishiyavdik toich shloishim yoyim." If it's within 30 days, zokuk livdoik. The halach is within 30 days, a person has a chiyuv to do bedika, which means even if you're not in your house anymore. But if you left your house within 30 days before Pesach, it was already chal chiv bedikah on the house. So if you know you're going, if you plan on leaving, if the doctor tells you, you know, you have to be admitted to the hospital, a person knows he's having a procedure, so then he should do the bedikah right before he leaves. But if a person doesn't have that knowledge, not always is a person notified that he's going to be going away to a hospital, so he has a chiv bedikah. Says the Mishnah number two, what's 30 days? Vafilu ein daite lachzachlal. Let's say this guy knows he's not coming back till after Pesach. He's checking in to a cruise. The cruise left a week before Pesach, and he's not coming home until the week after Pesach. Or Nebuch, a person's in the hospital, and he's not getting out. He's going to then go to a rehab center and to this, that, and the other. He's not going to be in the house. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it doesn't matter. Vafilu ein daite lachzachlal aracher Pesach. Even he doesn't plan to come back after Pesach. V'lo yere hachomis shebebeis. He's not going to see any chomis in his house. Rishum de'me'oz v'haloch chalolov chayves abdika. It doesn't matter. If you were left your house, if you were living in your house within 30 days before Pesach, it was chal on you, it created an obligation of bedikah, that obligation of bedikah must be fulfilled. So this presents a problem for those people that are hospitalized around Pesach time. They have to remember that they have a chiyuv bedikah. So again, if they have a wife at home, they have children at home, they can do that. Or they can always be memana shliach. Anytime you can't do the bedikas chametz yourself, so you can appoint a shliach to do it. But I'm just bringing this out that the person has to realize that there's still a chiyuv bedikah on their house. The fact that they've been out of the house for a week or 2 weeks doesn't matter. It's only if they've been out of the house for over a month. So Nebuch, those people that are recovering in a hospital, hopefully recovering in the hospital, they shouldn't forget, or it should be reminded by a family member, that even though the father or the owner of the house is not in the house, and he left, and he's going to be in a hospital, or going to be quarantined somewhere else, he still has a chiv bedikah on his house. So someone should do the bedikah on the house. Now the shaila is, let's say someone who's taka admitted to a hospital. So let's talk about a more joyous occasion. Let's talk about a lady who has a baby. So she's now admitted to the hospital. So the question is, do you have to do a bedikah in the hospital room? What's the hospital room considered? So if you look at number three in the Sefer Teres Yeledes, he writes, Yeledes Eicholah. If you have a lady that had a baby or just a regular chayla, hanimtzos bebeis chaylim, that they find themselves in a hospital, or liyudal b'nisan, on the night of the 14th, this year, tomorrow night, tivdekes achametz ba'aron shaliyad mitasei. They should do bedikah in their little area next to their bed, their little closet next to the bed, shebod nimtza chafotzeho. Because that's where they keep their objects. Person gets admitted to the hospital, they have a little bed and a little area around the bed to keep their suitcase, so they should do bedikah there. Why? Because the assumption is that the room that you are the space that you're occupying becomes yours. Just like if you'd rent a hotel room for Leil Pesach, if you'd rent a hotel room for Leil Pesach, you'd have to do bedikah on that room. It's now your room. So here also, if a person gets admitted to the hospital, it's considered their room. But if you look in the footnote, in the Sefer Teres Yehuda, it's written by Reb Zilberstein, he writes, "Kedin hasoyche beis mechaver barli yudal." Not if you rented a house. Shechayev livdik b'chametz kevavor b'simetav lamzayin sef aleph. But here's where he drops a chiddush which others disagree. He writes, "V'yitachin she'ein olavarech." However, it said Reb Zilberstein, if a person gets admitted to the hospital tomorrow night lebedikas chametz, and they put them in a bed with a little closet, whatever it is, they do bedikah but without a brach. Now, why? So he writes, "Mi'achav ein los chus beis choylem lemakim kavua." Now, it sounds like he's talking about if a person is in the emergency room, or now Nebuch, because the hospitals are so busy, they're basically putting beds anywhere, but you don't really have a place. You don't really have a makom. So his argument is, because you don't really have a makom to call yours, and they can move you from place to place, therefore it's not really considered regular schirus. So many achronim argue, they say, let's say, for example, a person gets admitted to the hospital, and they put them in a regular room. They get admitted to the room. So then already it might be considered their makom legamri. And then many achronim hold of a person. So this sounds like we're talking about a person who gets, you know, he's put into the emergency room and they're just like waiting in triage to figure out what to do with them and to run tests, but they haven't yet admitted them. But the moment a person were to get admitted to the hospital, many achronim make the argument that the moment you're admitted to the, one is admitted to the hospital, that now becomes your room, your seich of the room. Now, yes, the hospital can move you around, but again, a hotel room can also move you around. They can move you from one room to another room. They can move you to, you know, one ward to another ward, right? That's not migareya in one schiris. Though obviously, if someone has to do bedikas chametz in a hospital, there's no chance in the world he's going to be able to do bedikas chametz la'ar haner. They're not going to let you use a candle in a hospital. So you'll have to be samech on those achrayim that hold. You're allowed to do bedikas chametz over a panas chashmali, over a light, over a flashlight. Or today we have our phones that have lights. So therefore, if a person Nebuch finds himself in such a situation, obviously the patient has to be up to it. If the patient can't get out of the bed and the patient is bedridden and the patient is Nebuch very sick, they're not expect, but they have a chiyuv bedikas chametz. They have to be mamana shliach. Today it's very hard because you can't have any family members next to you, next to one who's sick in a hospital today. You have to maybe ask one of the Jewish nurses to do the bedikah for you, or a doctor. But this is Meikar Adin. When a person is admitted to the hospital, he has a chiyuv bedikah on that room. Okay, so those are obviously very extreme cases, but nonetheless, they're worth mentioning that if a person knows of someone that happens to be in a hospital, they should just remind the wife. Sometimes, Nebuch, when people have, you know, family members that are sick, the last thing on their mind is doing bedikas chametz in the house. But if you know someone that happens to have a husband that might be Nebuch in a hospital, so maybe you should just remind the wife that she should do bedikas chametz la pesach because she has a chiv, or make sure one of the children do it, or remind them. If not, you can do it. But it's something that needs to get done. Even though they're not going to be there for Pesach, it doesn't matter. Again, it could be they're not going to be there for Pesach. It could be the wife is going to somewhere else and the husband's going to be Nebuch in the hospital. They still have a chiv bedikah. This year, everyone who sells their chametz through the rabbi, again, not to the rabbi, people have this notion that you sell your chametz to the rabbi. Rabbis are Jewish also, we're not allowed to own chametz. So you sell your chametz through the rabbi, you make your rav, you authorize him to have permission to sell your chametz. So this year, there's a big problem because people don't want to come into contact with other people. Even though if you go grocery shopping, you see that people are not so makbid incorrectly. But nonetheless, so this year we're trying to limit the interpersonal interaction with the rav. So what are many people doing? So they're calling up the rabbi and they're saying, "Rabbi, I want you to be my shliach to sell the chametz." Now everyone should know, I made this very clear in my shul, that the shtar hashoah that you fill out, when you go to the rabbi before Pesach, you fill out a paper where it says where all your chametz is. It gives you your address, where your chametz is, an approximated value of the chametz. That paper goes to the guy. The guy needs to know what he acquired, so that still needs to go to the guy. So even if you're going to call the rabbi up on the phone and tell the rabbi on the phone, "I want you to sell the chametz to me," that paper still needs to find its way to the rabbi so he can give it to the guy. So this year, how did everyone make the rabbi their shliach? So normally we make the rabbi a shliach through a ma'ase kinyan, pick up the rabbi's pen, that's called kinyan chalipin, kinyan sudr, and that's how it works. What about this year? So again, this is also true for someone who's sick. If a person happens to be sick in their hospital, how are they going to get the rabbi to do a ma'ase kinyan for them? How are they going to ask the rabbi to sell the chametz? So if you look in the sefer over here, Sidur Pesach Kilchasai, he writes, "V'nimtza b'makim rochak u'kedayme." Let's say you live very far away from the rabbi, so you yachal a telephone. Number four, you can call the rabbi on the phone and say, "Rabbi, I want you to be my shliach to sell the chametz on my behalf." And the rav can write down your name and all the details. So I did that with some people. Some people I emailed them the shtar hashoah, they filled it out themselves. Others, I filled it out for them based on what they told me. He said, you can also be mamon the rav shliach through sending him a letter. Today we'd call that an email, a text message, a WhatsApp. you name any of the ways of just giving over the idea to the rabbi that you are authorizing him to do so. And he explains on the bottom, because the idea over here is that it's showing your rutzin, what you want, that you want him to sell your chametz. And you're appointing the rav shliach. It's not like other halachas. It's not an issue in London over here. Well, I only heard it over the phone. So if I heard it over the phone, it doesn't count. It's not a din in counting. Over here, it's just nearly, you merely need to know that you want to work for me. How many times do people hire people in the business setting without being, every time you hire work, you make a ma'aseh kinyan with him? No, you agree. You agree to each other, you say, yes, I'll do it, you send them a message, you confirm. So here also, it's just as good. However, he writes in the bottom, but as I mentioned before, but the rabbi still has to give over the name to the guy. Right? Obviously, if I come to the guy on Erev Pesach, I tell him, you know, a lot of Jews sold you chametz. I'm not telling you where it is, and I'm not telling you what it is, but just trust me. That's a very funny sale. So the Shtar HaShoah that dictate where you live and what you sold, that we're still going to give to the guy. So this year we have a little bit of a problem. We got to make sure we find the guy that doesn't get sick. Because if the guy gets sick throughout Pesach and he gets, Nebuch sick and he has to be hospitalized, it could be a little bit of a problem. So I was telling people that this year we're not doing handshakes with the guy. Why? Because the whole reason why we do a handshake is because Kiyas Kaf is a Kenyan. I would venture to believe those people that are doing business dealings today are not doing handshakes anymore. So if in the business world, Kiyas Kaf doesn't mean anything, so it doesn't mean anything in our little business transaction. So we're not going to do a handshakes with the guy. So he writes in the bottom, so one second, so why don't we do this every year? Why do we always have to come to the rabbi in person and make him pick up the pen and the whole shebang? So Pashup Shad is that's how the rabbi gets his money. Because if you need to come to the rabbi to sell him the chametz, so you feel guilty, so you always give the rabbi some money. We've spoken in the past in other shurim, why is there a minug to give money to the rabbi? But the truth is this year it gets a little bit more complicated. Let's say, for example, I have a friend of mine who's a rav in a shul, and he's not so sure if all the other members are necessarily going to understand what they have to do. So the question is, if you're the rabbi and part of your job contract is to sell chametz, In some of the shuls, that was part and parcel of the rabbi's job. It was written into his contract. So then you do it automatically. Then you don't necessarily have to need hashah. It's part of my job. You hired me to be the rabbi. You consented to that. And being consented to me to be the rabbi means I sell you chametz. So a year like this, that might be better. But normally, you come to the rabbi in person, and you tell the rabbi, and he writes your shtar hashah. The rabbi asks you where you're going for Yom Tov, and you write the rabbi a check. Okay, that's the way it normally works. So why can't we do this now going forward every year? We'll just send it in through email. So he writes in the bottom, will gab mechiras chametz sharav moichel goy. So he writes, el delchatchila lo yimker derech hatelefon shezeh nira zilzul b'mechira. He says, we want this to look as real as is possible. As we've spoken in previous shurim, mechiras chametz is a very, very controversial procedure. This year, many more people are buying into it because of what's going on. But nonetheless, this mechiras chametz is met with a lot of resistance in how real it is. So we want to make it as real as we can. So if we're going to have this, you know, we want it to be that when I come to the rabbi, I'm really making him my agent because I want this to be real. And when I go to the guy, I'm really an agent for this fellow and that fellow. We want to make it as real as we can. So we don't like doing it over the telephone. But avad the halacha l'maisa, in a case where either the chayle can't get a hold of the rabbi is unattainable, or you can't meet the rabbi. Like this year, all the achronim, I don't think there's anyone that disagrees with this psak, that you're able to do it visa telephone, or visa voicemail, or fax machine, or whatever method you can relay your thoughts that you want the rabbi to be your shliach. Another issue that comes up for someone who's not well, is that someone who's not well still has to do bittul chametz. If a person is sick, he still has to go through the procedure of bittul chametz. He has to make the chametz hefker. Because if he doesn't make the chametz hefker, he's going to be in a violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. If a person has chametz in his possession, even if it's not, meaning if a person owns a house and he happens to be nebuch in a hospital, so if he has chametz in his house that he's not mevatel, that's considered his chametz. So he needs to be mevatel. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Shlucha Yochel Levatoi. The Shulchan Aruch says, I can have a messenger do bittul chametz for me. It's an unbelievable chiddush. I can have a shliach do bittul for me. So we'll see in a second that Mr. Brewer is going to take issue with this. Now again, it's interesting to me, the guy has enough energy to appoint a shliach, yet he doesn't have enough energy to say bittul. The whole kochamir takes a few seconds. You just say, all the chametz that I have, I don't want. Apparently he has enough energy to make a shliach, but not enough energy to do bittul. So Shulchan Aruch writes, he can appoint a shliach. Ukeshemavato shliach, when the shliach does bittul, tzarech shiemer, he needs to say, chametz shaploni yeh bottle. Says the Shulchan Aruch, im eino ish bebeisoi, if he's not at home, yevato makim shu. You don't need to be in your house to do bittul chametz. I could do bittul chametz in China for the chametz that I have in America. And if he doesn't do that, let his wife do bittel chametz. So let's say, for example, you have a husband who is nebuch in a coma. He's on a tube. He's on a respirator. Nebuch, all the horrific stories that we're hearing every single day. And he's not able to say bittel. He's not able to do anything. So then his wife should do bittel chametz. His wife should be mevatel chametz on behalf of the family. So the truth is, Mishnah Berurah is very bothered over here from a lumdish standpoint. How exactly can I appoint a shliach to do bittel for me? He writes over here, number 6. He writes, Hainu, kishetzivo lishliach levat l'chemtze. The Shulchan Aruch says I can make a shliach. That means when I explicitly command a shliach to be mevat l'chemtze. Avol emim tzivo loy livdoik. But if let's say I ask the guy, do me a favor, do bedika. L'kuli alma in yoch levat. Then he can't do bittel. Because I never asked him to do bittel. I asked him to do bedika. They're two different jobs. Now, frekti mishnah berurah kasha, v'yavol gav de bittel hu mitam hefker. Frekti mishnah berurah, how does bittel chametz work? How does kol chamiyur work? It means I'm making it hefker. But if I tell my friend, do me a favor, go be mafker my things for me. It doesn't work. It's my thing. He can't be mafker it for me. So how can he be mavatal it for me? So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, because chametz is different. Because we know, because chametz becomes aser, it doesn't become yours anyways. Once it comes shas iser, it's not really yours. So I, frekti gemara and baba kama, so if it's not really mine, why am I ever over bali rabbi yimotze? The moment the iser achila comes around, the iser hano comes around, the chametz is taken out of my rishus. So if the chametz is taken out of rishus, how am I ever bali rabbi yimotze? So the gemara says, no, the Torah makes believe it's yours even though it's not yours. So Mishnah Berurah says, lefizeh, so it's really not yours, so the bittel is doesn't need to work as hard. But then he writes, in the middle, he writes, v'yesh machmir b'zeh, not everyone agrees to this mechaber, u'b'sha'as atchak yesh l'hokol. But l'maisi, you could be make u'b'sha'as atchak. Let's say, for example, you have a fellow who mamish can't do bittel, you could be semech on the shulchan aruch. D'roi v'apoyeskim eskim b'ladas ha'mechaber. U'mikol mokim kozeh dafke yesh osa shliach, you gotta make him a shliach. But without shlichos, it doesn't work. And this is a big question. Why can't you talk about things like Zach Ladim Shadafon? If you want me to do this for you, so this way you're not over Bal Yerol Bal Yimotze, but that's halacha l'maisa. So Shmuel Kamnetsky talks about a shayla, which is almost, was almost a gift for me this year, halacha l'maisa. Let's say, for example, you have a husband who's not, he doesn't have the mental capacity to sell his chametz. He's not there. He has the, well, let's say, for example, someone who's nebuch suffering very, very, very badly from corona, and he doesn't have any mental capacity to make a mechira to the rabbi. So what do you do? So Shmuel Kamnetsky writes, Mishu chaylu mechusar hakara, he's lacking recognition. Could someone else sell his chametz on my behalf? Let's say I have a friend who I know Nebuch is very sick and he's not bechlal, he's not responsive. But I know he's got tons of chametz in his house. And I want to save him because if he doesn't do something with it, it's all going to be chametz shaval of a Pesach. Again, he won't be over by Rabbi Motze, maybe he'll make a shlech for bittel, but it's all going to be chametz shaval of a Pesach. I want to save him for that. I want him to be able to drink the schnapps. I want him to be able to make a lachaim when he comes out of the hospital, Mitzvah Hashem. So I'll be a smart guy. I'll run to the rabbi, and I'll tell the rabbi, hey, I want you to sell the chametz on behalf of my friend. So Shmuel Kamenetsky says he's not so sure if it works. Because again, it might work. I'll zochel adam shloi b'fonav. This is the big schus. I want you to sell my chametz for me, because if you don't sell my chametz, then I'm going to be in a violation. So it's a schus for me. So Shmuel Kamenetsky is not machmir, but he does write at the end, avadover pashat she'ishto yichoy limkar chametz b'shvilay. The wife can do so. So let's, for example, let's say the husband is nebuch very sick and he can't even call the rabbi to make a mechira, so the wife should do it. Again, but people just have to be aware of these things. Again, if you know of someone whose nebuch has a spouse that's not well, just make sure someone's taking care of these little things because they're often overlooked. And it could be, again, it could be a hefsin moment. You're going to come back after Pesach and you're going to realize, oh, hey, no one did this and no one did that. So it's going to be, you're going to lose some of the money, you're going to lose some things. Oh, so that's something we should be aware of. Okay, another halacha, which really has nothing to do with chaylim, but it's negeh every year on Pesach. The question is, are you allowed to measure the shiurim on Leil Pesach? Right? You're going to come to the Seder, Mitzvah Hashem, you're going to come to all the different stages, you're going to have maror, and you're going to have maitzi matzah, and you're going to start measuring how big this is, how big this piece of, again, blina the later tonight, we'll get to exactly what you should be measuring anyways, but whatever it is, are you allowed to do medida b'yomtif? So normally we assume you're not allowed to measure things on yomtif. So many poskim, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, as well as Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, they pask, you're allowed to do medida of mitzvahs, it's based on a mechaber Shulchan Aruch, the medida shel mitzvah mutter. Because over here you're measuring, you want to know how big the matzah is. Is it a kezayis? Is it less than a kezayis? Is it more than a kezayis? All these things. So you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. So halacha l'maisa, Most achrayim are of the opinion that you're allowed to measure the matzah. Now, just from a side point, you can save yourself some time if you pre-measure it. If you pre-measure it and you put it into a bag, so this way everyone knows what they need, and it can keep the seder moving. But that's halacha maisa number 8. He writes, "Moto limdoit kazayis shel matzah b'pesach." You're allowed to measure exactly a kazayis. V'shabed dom lav rochi af lechatchilo. You can do it even lechatchilo. V'ein tzorich ledaktik limdor hakol me'eriyam. You don't have to make yourself crazy to measure it all on eriyam. You can measure it on yom tif proper, as is the ruling of Reb Shlomo Zalman Rohrbach. And again, if you have a big mishpacha, kind of hard, you have a lot of children, a lot of people, and this year, many of us are having smaller, less guests at the Seder. But if you're having a lot of guests, so it could take extra minutes. Every time you got to count out the Maitzi Matz, it takes time. So if you pre-pack it, it saves a significant amount of time. But again, Me'ikar Adin, you don't have to do it. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about different types of cholim when it comes to the Seder. So the most extreme case of a chayla is a person who can't do anything. He can't drink dalakosis, he can't eat matzah, he can't say the seder, he's nebuch, he's unresponsive. He's nebuch in a very, very bad situation. So the Nita Gavriel writes, Misha in a yochel lechol matzah imar, ro'u sheyilmar hilchaseim bizman achilosim. Obviously, he's well enough that he can at least be awake. Obviously, if the guy's on a respirator, he's not going to do this either. Let's say you have a guy who's very, very shvach. He's recovering from corona, and he doesn't have his appetite yet back, and he's still, trying to get his energy there, but he'll sit at the seder table, but he can't drink any kaisis, he can't drink any matzah. It's not going to happen. So what should he do? So Nitzan Gavriel writes, he should learn the halachas, because we know the Gemara says in Menachas that if you can't do a mitzvah, if you learn it as if you did it, so you should do that also. I think I remember hearing once from Rav Shechter that he thinks that's not by everything. I think he quoted once from the Mishnah Berurah. You don't say that by every mitzvah. You don't say, well, if I can't blow shofar and I'll learn hilchos shofar. I think it's only by the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash we say that. But this is what the Nitzan Gavriel suggests. So if a person has enough das to learn, but he just can't eat, his stomach is, again, a person could have a stomach bug and imamish can't eat. And the doctor, again, you need to consult with your doctor first. This is not, I'm being very careful over here because this all needs to be consulted with a doctor and a rabbi. If you look in Minchas Asher Chela Gimel, he has a very lengthy tshuva where he discusses the four different types of cholim, what your exactly situation is. So I'm not getting into that tonight, but we're talking about you have to really speak to your doctor first, find out what you can and can't do, speak to your rabbi second. But let's say you have a guy, it's just not happening. He can't eat an ounce of matzah, he can't touch the grape juice, but he'll sit at the Seder, he can rest in his bed with a book. So the Nitzan Gavriel suggests he should learn the halachas of the Seder. Okay. Often overlooked at the Seder is women. And many people have this thing because women are potter from so many mitzvahs, so they must be potter from Leil Seder also. And that's absolutely incorrect. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Gam hanoshim chayeves ba'ar b'koisis. Women are also obligated in the four cups. We're in source 10. U'bechol... Shulchan Aruch says, women are chayev in dal koisis. U'bechol mitzvahs anaheges ba'is alayla. As well as all the other mitzvahs that apply to Leil Seder. So women and men are exactly the same. They have all the exact obligations, except maybe has sebas a little different, but a lady needs to eat moitzi matzah, she needs to eat mara, she needs to drink dal kaisi, she has to do everything just like a man. Says the Mishnah Berurah number 11, the afshehu mitzvah seseh shaz mangram, aye, what happened to the rule that it's time sensitive, and any mitzvah that's time sensitive, women are exempt, because makom, they're included because of they were included in the miracle. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what mitzvahs do they have to do? They have to do matzah, maror, and the haggadah. So, makes no difference if you're a man or a woman, you have obligations on this night. Rabbi Asher Weiss, I think I might have heard this from him, and I found this later in Reb Shlomo Zalman, that even if you hold the lady doesn't have to do hasei, but she's not allowed to drink the dal kaisis on the go. Very often at the Seder, the women are very busy. They're trying to put the kids to sleep, and they're trying to clean the table and bring out the next course. So they'll drink the dal kaisis on the go. It's not right. Because even if you hold, you don't need to do a seber, you still need to drink a derech eruv. So a lady has to sit down in her chair, like a mensch, maybe no kids draped over her, and she shouldn't be, with the tray ready to bring out the next course. She drink it like a mensch, like a derech eruv. Maybe a lady doesn't have to do a seber, but she definitely has to drink the wine derech eruv. So therefore, it's important for the women to note that when they drink the four cups, first of all, they have to drink the four cups. They have to drink it ala seder. They can't skip around and double dip and do what they want. They got to follow the rest of the family. But they should try to relax, try to put the baby down, and maybe, for the drinking of the dal kaisis, you should be derech chayrus. So the Aruch HaShulchan talks about an interesting shaila, both in lamdas and halacha lamaisa. Let's say you have a person who can't eat a kazayis matzah. We know that the mitzvah deraisa on the simplest level is to eat kazayis of matzah, and it's to drink a certain amount of wine, which we'll get to later tonight. But let's say you have a person who can't eat a kazayis, but the person can eat less than a kazayis. The doctor says you can't have X amount, but you can have a little less than that. Is it even kedai to bother? Or do we say that pachas mikazayin? He says nothing. If there's a tanai in the shear, there's a condition in how much you need to have, so less than the shear is nothing. They didn't do anything. You know, if a person can't get all the dalaminim, so he doesn't have a loaf of Ezra. So is there something over here to say pachas mikashir? See, there are chashulchan writes in number 12 on the left side. Sorry, I hope everyone can see. Chashulchan writes all the way up on the top left side, he writes, v'im loy kizayis yoichol af pachas mikazayin. He's talking about, let's say, a case a person doesn't have. I'm sure in the Holocaust, where the Jews were lucky to get any matzah, you think they'd be able to get a kazayis, especially, you know, the most chumra dika kazayis shita, they got whatever they could take. But let's say you have a chayla, who can only eat so much. He can only eat less than a kazayis. Says the Shulchan Aruch HaShulchan, v'nireh gam b'kazayis rishon shal yoichol ma'achilas matzah, im ein l'kazayis el apachas mechoyiv lechol. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, let him eat that. He has to eat that. Ach lo yivarech al achilas matzah. He doesn't make a bracha. But lo yamin, we don't say the pachas mechazayis ain't a klum. The k'may b'sirun. Have a chatzis shir iser deraisa. He says, why? Because we know there's a thing called chatzis shir asa menatayra. What's the status of a half a shir? So Zokta Aruch HaShulchan, if a half a shir makes a difference with his surim, it should make a difference with the mitzvahs also. And therefore Zokta Aruch HaShulchan, if a person can only stomach a half a kazayis, eat a half a kazayis. Again, you don't make a bracha. So let's say, for example, someone who's sick and he can't handle the shurim, he still should eat as much as he can and still be in some form of a fulfillment of the mitzvah of eating matzah. What happens if a person, Nebuch, is on a feeding tube and he can't eat through his throat? So there's a famous tshuva quoted by all the contemporary achrayim from the Minchas Yitzchak. Minchas Yitzchak writes, number 13, Vayetzim zel adina, teboise mitzvah achila v'shtia shemavarchin aleh, any mitzvah that you need to do through eating and drinking and the bracha is on the eating, he can't make such a bracha. V'rak she'ivarch l'chaveiro, his friend should make the bracha, ul'hoitzi oise b'brichas kiddush alayayin, then eventually the kaddish ba'atzma v'lid on the achalish tais. If he can make his own kiddish, he gives someone else a drink. Shaper hevi mizem b'divir shochan aruch paiskim. But the Menachas Yitzchak is of the opinion that intravenous does not count for matzah, does not count for the alkoisis. It will not be a fulfillment of the mitzvah. There's an interesting kafachayim, which again might not be so negated to corona, but might be negated to other people. Let's say, for example, a person has a medical issue, and it affects their left side. Let's say a person had hip surgery on their left side. And now they expect them to lean on the left side on Pesach. And they're in horrific pain. I think some people that have corona have back pain or body pain. So let's say, for example, you have a guy, every single time he leans on his left side, he's in agony. So the Kaf HaChaim writes, number 14, left side, Umishi Yeshle Maka Bezroya, smiled. Guy has a wound on his left arm. Be'inyon She'inu Yochal HaHasabal Tzatzmei. Pasha can't lean. Every time he leans, he's in so much pain. Nira B'kungan Zeh Potter Meseba. Paskin Zeh Kaf HaChaim, he's Potter. Like Tikkun Chazal, let's say, Be'el Derech Eris. It's supposed to be enjoyable. The derech tanag is supposed to be relaxing. V'loy derech tzar. Shiyovel de tzar. It's not supposed to be uncomfortable. So since it's not supposed to be uncomfortable, you pot. Now, the shtickle kasha you can ask on the kafachayim from lefties. We know that the Rishonim give two reasons to why we lean on our left side. The Gemara gives two reasons. One reason we lean on our left side because it's derech eris. If you're a righty, so when you lean on your left side, it's more enjoyable to eat with your right hand. The Gemara gives another reason because shemi yaktim kon levesh. We're afraid a person may choke. So the Rishonim all right. What's the nafkamina between the two reasons? So Rishonim right, the nafkamina would be a lefty. If it has to do with shemi yaktim kon levesh, so a lefty has the same internal upmaking as a righty, so he may choke. But it has to do with cheiris, it's taka very uncomfortable, because a righty, when a lefty leans on his left side, it's very uncomfortable. So lemaisa, we paskin, chamiris akanta meisura, says the Truma Sedeshin. So a lefty taka is supposed to do a seba on his left. It's uncomfortable. So you'll have to be mechalik between a lefty's uncomfortability and someone that has an ailment's uncomfortability. When a lefty does a seba on his left side, it's not geschmack, but it's manageable. Mashenk, if a guy has a broken left arm and he's leaning on it, he's applying pressure, so then it's b'chalal, not derech eris. You have to say such a lumdus. But it's an interesting halacha from the Kaf HaChaim. If a person has horrific left side back pain, and every time he leans, he's just, again, so he shouldn't lean on his right, that's, you're not yaitzer. But he's pashtus, he's potter. Then he writes over here that you could be semich on the Rav Yo. The Rav Yo, which says today no one has to lean, which for some reason only the women are semich on. But Zok, the Kaf HaChaim, be semich on the Rav Yo. So Allah Almighty, the Kaf HaChaim paskens, if a person has pain on his left side and it's going to hurt him to lean, he doesn't have to lean. Okay. Once we're talking about Chayla, let's drop down to the bottom on page 15. We mentioned this last year at length. We had a whole share about this. That now that the husbands are home a little bit more, they can see what goes on in their kitchen before Pesach. So if you have enough guts to ask your wife what she's cooking for Shulchan Aruch, so in many Jewish homes, the main dish at Shulchan Aruch is boiled chicken. Why the main dish boiled chicken? Because there's a law on Shulchan Aruch that you're not supposed to eat anything roasted below Pesach. We don't want anyone thinking that you're eating a carbon Pesach, so you're not allowed to eat anything roasted. So what's the opposite of roasted? Boil in water. So if you take chicken and you boil it in water, you have boiled chicken. We mentioned last year that there are heterium. Let's say, for example, you cook it in an oven, a pot roast. You can listen to it last year's shir. But the Mishnah Berurah writes an interesting kul over here. He writes that a chayle can eat roasted. Let's say, for example, you have a chayle, and the only thing you can eat is grilled chicken. Grilled chicken is mamash roasted. There's no liquid at all. So the Mishnah Berurah paskins, he says, Alpha, he writes over here, last line, he says, "Umiu letzarech chayle, letzarech chayle k'tzas, yesh lahakob azeh." Could be makel for a chayla. So again, it's hard to imagine exactly the case with you. If let's say, for example, you have a person who's his chayla is connected somehow to his diet, and he needs to only eat specific foods, and he can't stomach the boiled chicken, and the only other option is to make him a fresh piece of grilled chicken. So if he's a chayla, again, a chayla k'tzas, doesn't have to be a chayla shesh pesakana. He would be allowed to eat such food. Okay, so let's talk about another situation, which is not as extreme as Corona, but it's definitely something that many people have, and it's very relevant Pesach time. Many people are celiac. They have a very difficult time digesting wheat, gluten. So the question is, what do they eat for matzah? What do they eat for matzah? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 16, let me get to the next page. Shulchan Aruch writes, number 16, it says in Shulchan Aruch, Elu dvarim sheyotzei mehem bidei chayves matzah. What type of grain, what can you make matzah from? So Shulchan Aruch says you can use chitin, you can use wheat, sa'irim, barley, kusmin, sheboyle shul. Sheboyle shul is generally translated as oats, v'shifun. So I always forget which one's which. So the other two, one is rye and one is spelt, right? Everyone knows. What are the five grains? So it's wheat, barley, oats, rye and spelt. Those are the five grains. So matzah can come from any one of those five grains. Shulchan Aruch says you can't make matzah from rice. Rice is not considered. Okay, so the five grains. So the Mishnah Berurah Agav points out, so why do we all eat wheat matzah? Why aren't more people eating spelt matzah? So Mishnah Berurah writes, Siv Katan Bezi says, the Ramah writes in parentheses, V'haminag likach lechatchil lechitim. The minig is to take wheat. Now that's why wheat is the one everyone chooses. Why wheat? So Mishnah Berurah explains, Mishum dehu chav l'adam b'yoyser. It's much more beloved. From all those grains, so most of us love wheat better. So Rabbi Asher Weiss is medayik. He says, one second. If a guy is gluten-free, he does not love wheat. He loves spelt better. He loves rye better. So he says, in that case, for him it's more mahodim. Vikim Mishum hede mitzvah. Says Mishnah Berurah of him, ein lechitim. If a person does not have wheat, yikach l'matzah is me'echan me'arba minim. He could take any one of these four grains. Hachoshav l'abyoyser, whichever he likes better. So, if a person knows he's not allowed to have wheat, so he will not take wheat matzah, he'll be able to buy oat matzah, rye, spelt matzah, any one of those matzahs. Just on a side note, people should realize that gluten-free doesn't mean it's not chametz. Gluten-free just means it doesn't have gluten in it. It can still have oats. Cheerios is gluten-free. Cheerios is oats. Oats is very much chametz, because the Mishnah says in Sachim that the five grains, the five things that you can make matzah from are the five things that can become chametz. So these things can all become chametz. So, let's say someone has a stomach problem and he can't handle having wheat matzah, so he should eat matzah from oats, rye, or spelt. He should eat from any one of the other materials. I've mentioned this in the past. I talk about this topic a lot in yeshiva with my talmidim. There was a professor named Professor Felix. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. He was a frum yid, and he wrote a book. I think it's called Tatzmiach Ha'adama, Tatzmiach Hasad. I forget already. Where he took issue with this idea that Sheboyle Shul is oats. He's convinced that Sheboyle Shul is not oats, it's something else. And therefore he's of the opinion that you're not Yetzer oat matzah. Because if you hold oats, Sheboyle Shul are not oats, so then you're not Yetzer matzah with it. So this was a very controversial psak, and throughout history there's always been different people that weighed in on this. Rabbi Salavechik was totally against this idea. He thought we have a Messiah dating back to a Rashi. There's a Rashi in Psachim. When it says Sheboyle Shul, Rashi says Avino Balaz. So everyone knows what Avino is. Avino is oats. Avino. You buy the Avino cream, it has oats in it. So therefore, Zogt, Rabbi Salavechik, we have a Messiah. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said, you can bring me 100 witnesses, 100 rayas that it's not. We still have a Messiah that it's oats. They say that Reb Shlomo Zalman somewhat at one time believed in it. He thought that Professor Felix is right. Okay, most people don't accept Professor Felix's hypothesis. He has some rise to it. He looked under a microscope. You see that oats don't look like the other one. He has a rye. They didn't have oats in the times of the Mishnah and Eretz Yisrael. Whatever it is, but I'm at least somewhat skeptical of it, so I'm not so comfortable telling people to use oat matzah. Because on the side that Professor Felix is right, so then you're not yotze matzah. That's a big gamble. That's a gamble. You're going to take a chance on Leil Pesach for the mitzvah that you only have once a year. Chutzlar, it's twice, Rabbanon, and you might not get it right. Okay, so again, you call up any regular rabbi, he'll tell you, of course, oats the Shabbat Shul. But I'm a little crazy, and I have this thing in my head that maybe Shabbat Shul is not oats. But Lamaisa, the accepted custom today is that people use Shabbat Shul. Avada, everyone considers it Shabbat Shul. Rabbi Abadi from Lakewood is one of the believers that Shabbat Shul is not oats, and he thinks oats are not one of the five grains. And therefore, if not one of the five grains, then not the problem of chametz. So I think it was a few years ago, I met one of his grandchildren. I went to yeshiva with one of his grandsons. So I said, Lefi, your grandfather, if oats are not one of the five grain, so you can't eat oatmeal on Pesach. So he told me for many years his grandfather used to do that. But then last year, or 2 years ago, his grandfather made it for Hesia. Oh, oatmeal's not a problem, because oats are not chametz. Okay, I don't think most people assume like him, but it's something to talk about, this Professor Felix, that Shibayla Shul and adults. But Al-Maisa, this is always what doctors suggest for those people that are on celiac, or those that are having issues with their stomach. They get them off the wheat, they get them onto oats or rye or something else. Rabbi Blumenkranz Zatzal, in his book, which is a fantastic book, I just kind of know how to use it, but it's a fantastic book. So he writes in his book that Rav Moshe Feinstein told him that you shouldn't use whole wheat matzah. That's very controversial. Many people like whole wheat matzah. They find it easier to digest. They find it healthier. But he quotes B'Shem Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe thought it's not so chashev. I don't know. I would think whole wheat matzah is even more chashev. It's more expensive. It's more, meyuchas. It's a better type of matzah. But he quotes B'Shem Rav Moshe. In the book, the Rav Moshe was skeptical. Rav Moshe didn't think it's all right to use whole wheat matzah. Okay, so you have to figure out what matzah you're going to eat for the Lel Seder to make sure your stomach agrees with it. Now, if you look at number 18, the Chayyadim writes an interesting halach. He says, let's see if someone who's sick. He's not able to consume the matzah or dal kaisis. He still makes the bracha on the magid at the end. But the nearly says the chayodim dal yomer tevas leechol by matzah umar. But you don't say those words because it's not true. You eat matzah in the mar. So you could say the hagodah, but you can't say those words. Rak v'gion u'halayla hazeh kein hashem v'kein v'gion. He says you can't say those words because it's just not true. So someone called me up the other week and he told me that he's getting dental work done a few days before Pesach. And he won't be able to chew the matzah. So this is a real shiloh. What do you do with the matzah? Matzah is very crunchy. Let's say a person has, again, not so much connected to corona, but the other ailments where you can't chew the matzah. It's hard to chew it. It's hard to, again, many people that have corona, we'll see, even when they're recovering, they have a hard time eating things. So matzah, or if someone has two teeth issues, what do they do about eating the matzah? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, number 19, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yoytze Adam b'matzah shiruya. You are Yoytze the mitzvah with matzah that was dumped. What we'd call today gibrox. If you take your matzah, you dip it into a liquid. So if you're from a Chassidish family, they're going to yell and scream at you, they're going to throw the matzah out. But if not, so then it's matzah shiruya. No problem. You're allowed to eat Yoytze matzah mitzvah with it. V'hu sholei nimucha. But it has to be that it doesn't become, you know, completely ready, you know, evaporate. It becomes all you know, soggy. Or you take a piece of matzah, you put it into water, it becomes soggy. It loses the tsuros at the pass. Avol in bishla, but if you cook it, in a yitzah. But you can't pre-cook your matzah. You can dunk it in the water, but you can't pre-cook. Says the Mishnah Berurah, number 20, yitzah adam, hainu b'di'evid. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this idea of dipping your matzah in liquid is not lechatchila. Lechatchila, you eat the matzah straight up. But b'di'evit, if a guy didn't realize and his matzah slipped into the wine and he took it out, then he ate it, he's yoytze. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but ulezakin ulechayle, someone who's older or someone who's not well, shekoshle lechal matzah veshe, can't eat the hard matzah. Moter afil lechatchil lishros hamatzah b'mayim. Then it's mut lechatchil to dunk it into water. So if a person's having a hard time eating matzah, so he should make it a little softer by dipping it into the water. But you shouldn't leave it in there for 24 hours, because then it becomes like kavush, and kibush is kimavushal. I don't think anyone's leaving their matzah in for 24 hours, so it's not so negay. Okay, so now the Shulchan Aruch was talking about putting your matzah into water. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says number in Yud Ches, where in number 20, Mishnah Berurah says, shruya b'mayim. Now, what about if I want to put it into another liquid? Not water. I want to put it into a different beverage. Can I put it into other liquids? Ume peris, fruit juice, America, I want to dip it into the soup. Let's say I want to dip it into the soup, and then I'll eat the matzah. So Mishnah Berurah writes, You can't do that. Why? Because if you dip the matzah into water, water is tasteless. It doesn't affect the taste. If I'm going to take my matzah, dip it into the matzah ball soup, so when I eat the matzah, I'm tasting matzah ball soup. So it's migareya from the matzah. No, it's only if you cook it does it lose it. But if it's not cooked, again, when you put your matzah into your hot soup, that might be bishul. Go back to the shiurim we had a shiur a while back about dipping your challah into your soup. If it's a klirishin, it's a klisheni, bishalacha bishul, bishalacha afiyah, machlekes rishonim. Okay, whatever. But nonetheless, that's a shayla. Therefore, paskas mishmu v'alkein. Zokin a chayla sheyefshalei lechol matzah shubimayim. Let's say, again, let's work out hierarchy. The best thing would be is to dip your matzah into water. But let's say for some reason, I don't know why, you can't dip it into water. Then mutala the shoy sibiyana bishai mashkin. Then Mr. Brewer says a zakin or a chayla, he could dip his matzah into another beverage. Avoshar kol odem shachol matzah ashuri bishai mashkin. But a regular healthy person who dips his matzah into the soup and then eats it, lo yotze yidei chavos. He did not fulfill the mitzvah, tzarech lachos v'lachol matzah acheres. He needs to go back again. Whether it would be the kazayis of matzah, whether it be afikayim. Again, let's say a guy decides to be a nibbachacham. So he decides that he says about the afikayim and he keeps his bowl of soup next to him. So he keeps dipping it into the soup. He's not yaitz afikayim according to the Mishnah Berurah. If he's not well and he needs it to help the taste. I guess maybe let's say some nebuch who has corona and one of the symptoms are that person has no taste. So maybe it's or maybe somehow he thinks by putting the soup into it will help him taste it a little bit better. I'm not sure. But for a chayla it's mutter. For a regular person it's not mutter. Then the Mishnah Berurah points out, he says over here, but just be careful when you're dipping your matzah, you just want to dip it. You don't want to leave it in. Okay, because then it's going to lose the look. Mishnah Berurah says if you leave it in too long, that it loses the tzuras of the lechem, then you're not yetz either. So you got to really just get it a little bit wet and then take it out. Now, if you look at number 21, back on the left side, the Bir Halacha suggests another possibility. Instead, if a person has a hard time eating the matzah, so instead of taking the matzah and dipping it into water, just break the matzah up into little pieces. Says the Bar Halacha number 21, I am a Mishnah Berurah, the who had the who lezakim v'chayla, the yesho in eitzah. Says the Bar Halacha, I got a simple eitzah. L'misha kosher lechol matzah v'yesho. You guy can't eat hard matzah. Shechol matzah, mefureres, break it up. Avshu kikemach. Mavarch nadzal moitzi, the achilas matzah. Uvat shechol kazayis. Again, you got to eat a kazayis. But if you chop it up into little pieces, much easier. So this seems to be like a very good idea. This is what I suggest to the person who asked me about the dental work. I said, instead of dipping it, it would be much better to break it into pieces. But the question is that true? Is it better? What is better? So if you look in the Binyan Tzid, Yaakov Ettlinger writes at the end of the Tshuva, he says, L'chein, mi shelo yochol lechol matzah machmas chasarin shinayim. A person can't eat because he doesn't have teeth. Says the Binyan Tzid, Dr. Yaakov Ettlinger, you know what's actually better? It's better to break it up into pieces than it is to dip it into the water. Why? Because mashladas among Avram le mutarak b'dievet. Because dipping it is a machlokes, but breaking it up has no problem. And that was also the opinion of the Chazinish. If you look at number 24, which should probably be 23, in the Din of Van Hoggis of the Chazinish, he writes, Shamanu, I heard she'echot shaloi ha'yochol ala samatzah. Someone wasn't able to eat the matzah, so they asked the Chazinish, im lotzeis b'matzah shruya ab mifaredis. What's better, dip it or crumple it up? The heshiv, the adif, bimifaredes. Chazanish paskin, it's better to crumple up. So, halach lemaisa. If someone is having a hard time eating the matzah because he's sick or he has teeth issues or he has other issues, according to both Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger and the Chazanish, the best option would be is to break it up. Now, it might be the best option for another reason. Let's say you're chassidish. And let's say you have a misaira that you don't eat gebrokst. Now, dipping your matzah into water on some levels might be gebrokst, depending on how extreme you treat gebrokst. So let's say, for example, then it's a no-brainer. Then it's avada, it's better for you to break it up into pieces. But the shayla, let's say you don't want to break it up into pieces, so you want to dip it into the water. What do you do about gebrokst? You have a minute called gebrokst. So if you look in Rivei Sefraim 25b, Rivei Sefraim Greenblatt writes, Nishalti, I was asked, Misha mekabal alatzme lelechol matzah shuriyah. Someone was mekabal, he doesn't eat gebrokst, matzah dipped into anything. Ukeis kosher like you chayla, now it's hard. But near the Efshel Hatal, he could be Mataneder. But be matter to him. I'm not sure if it means Ide Mataneder or not. Then he writes, Vereisi b'sefer b'nerenu b'skenenu. Very nice name for sefer. Shekasav simen hey. Sheshama mechsidim v'anjim maisa. The bezalkin v'choylo. Hoyse haskoma ha'kehilo la'hatal lehem nidrim. They were Mataneder v'yochlu matzah shuru. So I'm not sure if it means you need Hatar or they don't need Hatar, but it's a question. Rabbi Vadya Yosef, I think, thinks you need to be Mataneder. If you were Makabal not to eat Matzah Shuria, so then you have to be Mataneder. A similar Shaila comes up this year, not exactly the same, but many people have a minute they don't sell Chametz Gomer. But this year, many people want to sell Chametz Gomer. So the question is, if you don't sell Chametz Gomer, they have to be Mataneder. So Rabbi Shechter writes in one of his psakim that he's graciously shared with the world, and we can all read them, and it's a big tayelas for us Rabbanim for sure. So he writes, no, you don't have to be Mata Neder, since this is a specific special situation, and Al Das Ken, you would have never made such a Neder. He thinks you don't have to be Mata Neder. So Halach L'maisa, if you have a difficulty eating matzah, it would be better to crumple up the matzah than it would be to dip the matzah. But Avada, dipping the matzah, is a very, very viable option. The next thing I want to talk about, very bekitzur, because I've spoken about it in the past years, and this is not only for this year, but it's really for anyone that has stomach issues, what to drink for the dalek kaisis. So we know there's an old discussion about grape juice versus wine. Is a person allowed to use grape juice for the dalek kaisis? We mentioned in the past that Rav Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that a person is not yoitze, the mitzvah of dalek kaisis, if he drinks grape juice. Even though there's such a thing in the halacha based on the Gemara in Bava Basra called yayin migitoy, wine that first came out, and if you ever had wine that first came out of the grapes, it's not yet alcoholic. So the Acharim say that's because it has the ability to become alcoholic. But grape juice, since they put chemicals into it, it lacks the ability to turn alcoholic. It's not the same thing. So Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion, as was Rabbi Yashub and some other Gedolim, that you're not yet to the mitzvah with grape juice. Others disagreed. If you look at number 25, what's the issue with grape juice? So one issue I mentioned to you is that Rav Moshe Feinstein thought it has to be derech cheres. Part of the dal kais is not just to drink 4 cups, but to drink 4 cups with a simcha, with enjoyment, and that only comes from alcohol. There's another issue that Acharonim have with grape juice, is that it's pasteurized. And because it's pasteurized, it might be considered it was mevushel. And we know there's always a question if you can use yayin mevushel. So Rav Moshe Shtembech writes that avada you yoitz with yayim avashu u mitzvasa kein lechatchila, and that's lechatchila b'choyle oy zakin oy kotz meyayin u b'noshim she'in lem lachma. Says the Moshe Sternbach, avada for someone who's not feeling well, someone who's elderly, or someone who just doesn't like yayin, he should definitely go with grape juice. And then he writes, the g'doyle Yisrael, many great people, k'ma ha'goy mitchabin, the chabin rav, a great gadol, the chabin rav. Rabbi Yashav said on the chabin rav, you can make the bracha that you make for a chacham. Umar and Agriz, Biskarov. The Biskarov drank grape juice. They all drink grape juice. So it says, Rimash Shtembach, Rak, Lefid Devarenu, Imhubari, Royal, Hadish, Shadlash, Toys, Yain Gum. Avada, if you can handle it. And I'll add to this. Let's say, for example, many people drink dalek kaisis of wine. They can't make it through the rest of the Seder. They're knocked out. So then you should drink grape juice. So says the Debret Sinarov, oh, I saw a lot of choshev, says Moshe Sternbach, a lot of choshev people drink grape juice. So it's interesting that they say over that it's not true. The Biskarov never drank grape juice. All his sons say this is a Baba Maisa. About the Chazinish, it's well known that the Chazinish suffered from stomach problems. So the fact that the Chazinish did this is not a riot to other people. But Halacha L'maisa is what Rav Moshe Sternbach passes. And this is what I'm telling people this year, for those people that have any form of stomach ailments which would be worsened with wine, there's no mitzvah to drink wine. You can be yotze this year for sure with grape juice. Now, just on top of that, I'll add that there's no mitzvah to drink wine that's 11-12% either. Many people drink this very, very strong wine. I know some people drink more wine on Pesach than they do on Purim. They get drunk at the Seder, not at the Purim Seder. There's no mitzvah to drink 12% wine at the Seder. How much alcohol does it have to be? So Rabbi Belsky thought it's 3.5. That's Kal. Kedah makes a bottle 3.5. Heinemann has an idea it has to be 4%. Okay, so let's say you'll be machmir 4%. That's good luck. You have 4%, you're Yetzer of Moshe. Even according to Moshe, 4% is alcohol. People, 4%, that's fruit juice. It's not fruit juice, it's alcohol. So Halacha L'maaseh, I think people should buy lower alcohol level wine. Again, if you can handle it, okay, great. You could drink 12%, it doesn't do anything to you, no problem. But for those people that have a hard time with the wine, instead of opting for the grape juice, I think it would be more kedai to opt in for the kal. This way, you're still yoitze the sheet of those achreidim. Yaakov Kamenetsky was quoted number 26, where he writes, you should push yourself. If you can't, you can have grape juice. I didn't go through pasteurization. Okay, he was right about mevushel. But l'maisa, halach l'maisa, this year, without a doubt, for those people that are having issues and are still not 100% better, or sometimes you have people that are on medication and the medication doesn't do well with alcohol, whatever the case may be, avada, it's a lechatchila for these people. For these people, grape juice is a lechatchila, or if they can drink a low alcohol content, drink a kal, 3.5, 4%, very, very low, this would also be acceptable. Okay, now the real point of the shir now that I really want to get to is, how much does one have to drink to be yotze the mitzvah? Now, for those of you who remember, we discussed this at length last year, ba'arichos, in a shir, it's on the archive, you can listen to it. But we'll just go through it very, very quickly and discuss how it's relevant this year for those that are not feeling well. When talking about dalet kaisis, there's two questions. We just discussed what type of wine to drink, but there's another question of what type of becher to have. The halacha is that a becher always has to be a revius. Shir kais is a revius. That's the bikasha. How do people make kiddush Shabbos morning on schnapps, on a schnapps cup? A schnapps cup is 1 ounce. A schnapps cup is definitely not a revius. So even if you hold you can make kiddush on schnapps, because schnapps is chamar medina, but where's the revius? So we mentioned in the past, that's a very famous psak from the Divrei Chaim, from the Sanzer Rebbe. The Sanzer Rebbe was matir, that he held that you don't need a revius anymore. Okay, but that's a very questionable. You'll every once in a while, you'll see a good hardcore litvak making kiddush on schnapps, but I'll have a 6 ounce cup because he's machmer. It's got to be at least revius. It's not crazy. It's somewhat logic to that. Because even if you're willing to accept that you can use chamar medina, which that's not such a chiddush, it says like that in Shulchan Aruch maybe, but you still need to have a shir revius. A shir revius is definitely more than 1 ounce. So the Shulchan Aruch writes over here number 27, lo yotzo shir hakoyis halacha test. How big is the cup? Revius. The cup has to be revius. La'acha yishem zigen. How much is revius? How much is a revius? So, the way we assumed it was that we assumed that a revius is the size of 1.5 eggs. A bay umechtz, egg and a half. So, how do you figure that out? So, you got to figure out how much volume an egg takes up. And then you times that by 1.5 and you figure out how much revius is. So, both Reb David Feinstein and Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky tested this out, and as did Reb Heinemann, and they found that it's somewhere between 1.87 and 1.9 ounces. Reb Heinemann felt that when he measured the eggs, what he calls a large egg, a medium egg, it somehow took up the volume of 1.9 ounce fluid ounces. So therefore, Reb Moshe Heinemann made the cheshbon, so that's how much a revius is supposed to be. Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky said that he measured it. It came to 1.87. Came to 1.87, which he's going to round up anyways to 1.9 just to keep things simple. So if you hold that, it goes. You take 1.87 and you times it by 1.5. It takes you to about 2.87, which is about basically 2.9. So according to this opinion, the revius is 2.9 ounces. That means your becher has to be slightly a little bit above, a little under 3 ounces to be kosher. Now, the problem is, and that's the way Reb Chaim Noah paskins. Reb Chaim Noah paskins halach l'maisa, that the shir revius is 2.9 ounces. The problem is that the tzlach in his commentary to Maseches Pesachim says that it's not true anymore, because the Gemara says that the shir eggs measure to the shir of fingers, 2 by 2 by 2 by 2, we spoke about that last year, and he says it doesn't work out. So therefore says the Noah Yehuda, the eggs are shrunken. The eggs in the times of the Gemara are no longer the same size as they are today. So the Nadi Behuda said you have to double everything. You have to take the size of the egg, instead of timesing it by 1.2, by 1.5, he times it by 3. So if you follow that, so then obviously you're going to take, the shear is going to be much, much larger. If you take 1.87, for those of you at home can try this as well, if you take 1.87 and you times it by 3, 1.87 times 3 is already 5.5 ounces. That's a significant difference. So if you accept the notion of the Noyde Behuda, you're basically looking at a doubled amount for a revius. The Mishnah Berurah has a middle-of-the-road approach. Mishnah Berurah holds you don't use 1.5 eggs, you use 2 eggs. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, if you accept 1.87 and you times it by 2, so then a revius takes it to 3.74. Reb Moshe Heinemann paskins halacha l'maisa based on this Mishnah Berurah that a revius is the amount that takes over 1.9 fluid ounces, times it by 2, and he holds it's 3.8. So there's three main opinions. Either it's 2.9, or it's 3.8, or it's going to be in the fives according to the Chazon Ish. Now, being that this year, Dalakaisis of the Rabbanon,
Last year, the first cup was Kiddush, which was Deraisa, so maybe you have to be more Machmer for the Noy de Behuda. But since this year, Kiddush on Yom Tov is only the Rabbanan, so there's really no reason to be Machmer. So there's no reason to be Machmer, so you should assume that Revius is 2.9 ounces. 2.9 ounces. That's how big your cup has to be. So, if that's how big your cup has to be, but how much do you have to drink? So Shulchan Aruch writes, V'yishte kule arubay. You have to either drink a whole Revius or Rav Revius. That's not a lot. If a Revius is 2.9, Rav Revius is not so much. Even if a Revius is 3.8, Rav Revius is 1.9. We're not talking about large amounts. So if a person is not feeling well, there's no reason for them to take 5 ounces at each one of the 4 cups. That's crazy. You just have to drink Rav of 2.9 or Rav of 3.8. If you want to be Machmer for the Chazinish, 5.6, and drink Rav of that, that's already a lot. I wouldn't do that. I would suggest to go like the other Shur. The problem is if you have a big Becher. If you have a big Becher, it says in Shulchan Aruch, V'im Yesh B'Har B'Revius, if you have many Revius in the Becher, Shais V'Menu Kol Kach B'Le'odim K'min Revius Shaboy. V'Yesh O'imim Shetzor Echlish Deis Rav HaKoyt Afil Machzik Kam Revius. Shulchan Aruch has a machloik is if it's a very large cup, do I have to drink Rav Revius and I can leave the rest off in the cup? Or I have to drink Rav Kois, even if my Kois is 12 ounces. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, number 28, he says, why over here do I have to drink Rav Kois? Why can't I just drink Rav Revius? So he writes in number 28, I feel because God lives, though normally I can get away with just drinking Rav Revius. We're more machmer by Dal Kois. So it's a big shita. If you're going to take a becher that you got at your bar mitzvah, that's 7 ounces, so you got to drink Rav Kois. You got to drink over 3.5 ounces. My math is right. That's a lot. That's a lot to drink. That's a lot. So Mr. Bruce says, Lodina, Kaimalon Kedei Rishayna. We really pass like the first Shita. If you don't plan to drink rat, Lo Yikach Kois Godo. Don't bring a big cup. So don't buy a huge Becher. If you're going to take a 5 ounce Becher and you're only going to drink Rav of 2.9, you're running yourself into a shiloh. So buy a smaller Becher. Buy a Becher that's 3 ounces. And this way you can drink Rav Revius. You don't have a problem. So again, specifically for those that are not feeling well this year and they're having issues and they're just getting back to their diet, hopefully, do not use big Bechers for the Kais. Don't drink wine. And drink small. Drink Rav of 2.9 or drink Rav Revius of 3.8. There is a chiddush from the Sanze Rebbe's son, the Divrei Yecheskel, the Shinova. He was the Rav in Shinova. I think he says Revius is like 2.5. Very, very, very low amount. I don't think that's accepted by anyone. But 2.9, that was Neskap Reb Chaim. No, I had such a share like that. Very acceptable. I think a person can be yotze that for the Seder. So that's with regard to the 4 cups. What about matzah? So this year, I think many people should opt in to use machine matzah. From what I understand, for many people that are suffering from corona, the hand matzah might be too hard on their stomach. So if the hand matzah is too hard on the stomach, they should probably eat machine matzah. Because we've spoken many times in the past that the hand matzah, machine matzah controversy, there's pros and cons to each one. The my love hand matzah is that it was done lishma, because it was needed by a Jew, and the Jew was able to put into the lishma. The ma'ala of machine matzah is that it's ain shum chashash chametz. Because it's on a machine, the machines are so perfect, they shut down, they turn off. Ain shum chashash chametz. So they each have their ma'alas again. So normally many people are machmet, the yekis are machmet to only eat machine matzah. But most people have hand matzah. But if a person knows his stomach can't handle it, avad, he should eat machine matzah. But how much do you have to eat? Let's talk tachlis. How much does a person really have to eat for matzah? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch number 20, I believe that says 29 in the right bottom right corner, Shulchan Aruch writes, Shir Kazayis, how much is a Kazayis? Yeshayimim dahave kechatzi beya. Yeshayim, that's the size of a half of a beya. Okay? So we know that a beya takes up 1.87, 1.9 fluid ounces. So Kazayis is half of that. Okay? Now the truth is it's machloikis reshayim. The Shulchan Aruch is of the opinion that a kazayis is half a kebeya. The Rambam is of the opinion that it's a third of a bay, much less. So how do we paskin? So again, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're talking about deraisas, you should be machmer. If you're talking about a deraisa, you should be machmer, unless it's a chayla. If it's a chayla, you could be mekel. So now we got to figure it out. We got to figure out how much is a kazayis according to the Rambam, which again, if it's a kazayis according to the Shulchan Aruch is half a kebeya, a kazayis according to the Rambam is a third of a kebeya, right? So how exactly are going to we figure this out? So if you look in some of the contemporary Svarim, so the way they say it over is that the stipler was always of the opinion that a shir kezayis for machine matzah is going to be 2/3. And according to the Rambam, it's going to be 1/3. And for a hand matzah, it's going to be a half. That's going to be a kezayis for us in the Shulchan Aruch. It's going to be a half and 2/3 if you hold like the Rambam. So again, according to the stipler, if you're going to eat hand matzah, so if you want to get a kezayis, you're supposed to eat a half of it. One half is a kezayis. Now, if you want to be machmer for mitzi matzah and eat two kezayisim, so one whole matzah, the yoytze two kezayisim. But if you don't want to eat one, so then a half a matzah would be the yoytze konto Shulchan Aruch, and 2/3 would be for the, I'm sorry, 2/3 is for the machine matzah, for the other shitas. Now, Rav Moshe Heinemann thinks differently. Rav Moshe Heinemann thinks that hand matzah is machine matzah is a kezayis is a half of a machine, but for hand it's a third. Now, for a chayle, it's all a little less. Instead of it being a third, it's a sixth. So according to Rav Moshe Heinemann, if you have a chayle who can only eat so much machine matzah, he can get away with eating 1/6. Of a matzah for a chayle, and for a machine matzah, it's 1/2. That's what Moshe Heinemann's opinion. So again, a kezayis, according to many people, is going to be a half. According to Moshe Heinemann, it's a quarter. And for a chayle, it's going to be a sixth. So halacha l'maisa, there are different opinions. Those are some of the different shitas about how much matzah to eat. Let's just talk for a second about mara. Agav the Nitzan Gavriel writes before Shemesh Tabru that a chayla should only eat one kezayis leil Pesach.
Supplements in weight for somebody to put on a scale.
What?
Do you have any of these measurements of matzah in weight?
I do. I just have to get the sefer. Can you favor get on the table, get me the sefer? I have it in grams. I have some of it in
perfect.
Grams.
Grams is perfect.
Yeah. It's on the table where I sit. Rom, I can give it to you after this year.
Thank you.
Okay. I just want to wrap up with Murr. So we all know that there... No, I'll get it later. There's the Mishnah Psachim gives 5 examples of what you can use for Murr. So 2 out of the 5, we know what they are. One is Chazeres, which most people assume is romaine, and Aaron Cutler thought it's iceberg. And then there's something called Tamcha, which we assume is Chrein. Not chrein that you buy in the store, because that chrein has added its sugars and other things. So the question is, so which one should we use? So the pashtus is that we should really use romaine lettuce. Why? Because that's higher up on the list. Chrein is number 3 on the list. Chazeres is number 1 on the list. So why is that so many people eat chrein? The answer is because they used to not be able to get romaine lettuce. It wasn't available. And the other reason is because there was big bug problem with the romaine lettuce. So for many years, Yidden did not eat the romaine lettuce. They ate the real chrein. Many people say, well, how can you eat it with romaine lettuce? It's not bitter. So the Gemara says that the way Shibi Mitzrayim started off, at first was easy. They paid us. And then it became bitter, just like the romaine lettuce. If you leave it long enough in the ground, it turns bitter as well. So many people do that. Many people do the murr. This year, for those people that have sensitive stomachs, I do not suggest using the murr, what we call the horseradish. I would instead suggest using the other chrein, the romaine lettuce. I saw a chiddush this year from Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that I've been doing for many years, and I saw others disagree with Reb Shlomo Zalman. What I do many years is I mix the two murrs together. I take some of the stalk, and I take some of the murr, and I put it together. For the simple reason is, it's very hard to, you need to like hold the murr in something when you throw it into your mouth. It's a PC. We paskin that for the chrein that you're going to use, the horseradish is supposed to be 1 ounce, 1 schnapps cup. So I always felt like I put it into the lettuce, and I wrap it together, and it's easier to eat. Reb Shlomo Zalman says you shouldn't do that. Because on the tzad that each one is not the real maror, so then you're being megareh from the tam maror. I thought that was a chiddush. I think most acharim assume not like him. But if you hold not like him, so you can do a little bit of each. You can take a half a kezayis and that, half a kezayis and that, and together you have a kezayis. But that was a chiddush from Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. But today it's much easier to get the romaine lettuce. You can get romaine lettuce, and you could And you can use that lechatchila for the mar, but many people like to use the chrein. But again, for someone who's having stomach problems, I would strongly suggest they not use the chrein, and they shouldn't feel any guilty. I think it's more kedai to use the other one, because that's the way it's listed in the Gemara Pesachim. That's number three, one on the list, and the chrein is only number three on the list. So these are just some of the halachas that pertaining to a chaylim. Mr. Hashem, b'schus our learning, all the chaylim should have a complete refuah shleima. They should all be able to eat the seder regularly with the regular halachas without any necessity to be mekel. And Mr. Hashem, we should all be healthy. We should all be have a wonderful seder together with our family in good health. Mr. Hashem, we should all be zerch to fulfill all the mitzvahs balayla properly, the way Chazal intended it, the way Hashem wanted it. We should only be able to bring source of nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mr. Hashem, we should all be zerch. This year should be the year that we see the arrival of Mashiach. Meher b'yameinu, wishing everyone a good Yom Tov, a chakosh v'sameach. Everyone should have a safe Yom Tov, a healthy Yom Tov, and wishing everyone all the best. Mr. Hashem, I'd like to give a share over Chol HaMoed, because no one's going on any fancy trips, but I just have to see if I can get it together in time. If not, Bli Nedar will return sometime after Pesach, but I'd like to have some form of a shir. We still have a part two to talk about cancelled contracts, a part two to still discuss. So Mr. Shem will probably have a shir on that at some point, because if everyone's around, there's no reason why we shouldn't learn Torah, but tomorrow night's a little hard to learn Torah, but tonight, Baruch Hashem, we got a shir in. So, wishing everyone a chakosh v'sameach, a good Yom Tov. Wishing everyone a healthy Yom Tov. The family should be healthy. Everyone should be healthy and safe. And Mitzvah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should see all that we're doing. He should bring the geula in our days. Be well, everyone. Take care, everyone.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Avram, let me go. I hung up. I have to go back to Avram Zipper. Let me call.